I've been preaching a series of sermons on the church. Some of you may have noticed. Today my topic is the nature of the body from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 12 through 27. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open up to 1 Corinthians 12. Beth, I've been thinking about New Jersey. Most people don't realize it, but I lived 4.5 years in New Jersey. And might have even have met Beth way back in those days of long ago. But something I was thinking about was the church. We lived a long ways from the church. I was 7, 8, 9, 6, somewhere in there, back before memory. But one thing that I remember was I went to church excited. I enjoyed going to church. I enjoyed Sunday school. I enjoyed the singing service. Whenever they asked for requests, I always requested, and I mean always, Angry Words was my favorite song. And they knew if my hand went up, they said, okay, page 12. I don't know what songbook it was, but it was page 12. And Angry Words, my hand, okay, Monty, we know it. But I loved church. We lived far away. I don't remember how far it took us to drive to church, but it took a long time. We lived somewhere toward New York. I don't remember exactly where, but we lived somewhere towards New York. My dad worked in New York. So he would drive across that huge bridge tunnel thing to New York, and I would stay in New Jersey. But I'm mentioning this because I remember that time particularly fondly, particularly with the church. I can remember that often Wednesday nights we didn't go to church. What we did was with the people that were in our area, we got together in houses and had Bible studies for Wednesday night because the church was a good distance. Or in bad weather, believe it or not, New Jersey has a lot of snow. I can remember that too. Snowmen, snow forts, snowball fights, I remember all that. But I remember particularly the times people come to our house. Once again, I always requested song number 12, Angry Words. And I can remember sometimes me and some of the other kids would play Lord's Supper. Have you ever played Lord's Supper as a child? I loved it. We would get the crackers out, and I would go get grape juice, and sometimes we didn't have it, so I had to use apple juice. But we would play Lord's Supper. We didn't have little cups like here, so I would go and we would get, you know, coffee cups and stuff. I don't remember exactly, but we would pour that in there and we would get the crackers out and I would pray and the other kids would pass out the Lord's Supper things and we played church. And I can remember being excited. I remember people coming over, particularly for singing. My dad was the song leader. Some of you have known my dad, and he was a song leader in his day. And so often people would come to the house, dad would break out the song book, and we would sing. What song would we sing? Angry Words, number 12. And I was excited as a child about church. Now let me ask you, particularly the children, are you excited about church? Do you play church? Do you have good thoughts of church? Because it's important that we do. It's of vital importance that we be excited about church. And by church, I don't necessarily mean this building, and I mean about us. A group of people that worship and love each other. We worship God, not each other. We worship God together. We love each other. That's what church is all about. And I think sometimes we miss that point. Let me just read. Am I in the right place? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 12. Let me read 12 and 13. Verses 12 and 13. Paul says, a person's body is one thing, but it has many parts. Though there are many parts to a body, all those parts make only one body. Christ is like that also. Some of us are Jews and some are Greeks. Some of us are slaves and some are free. But we are all baptized into one body through one Spirit. And we were all made to share in the one Spirit. That word body is the most prominent word in 1 Corinthians when Paul is discussing unity in the church. It is used with reference to the individuals. It is used in reference to the coming together to worship. It is used also in reference to that part of Christ, the body of Christ, which we are. The body of Christ, the church, is important. Or have you seen heads flying around lately without a body? Now, I don't know. If I saw Charlie's head floating around one day, I might worry. But it is not normal to have a head without a body. Or am I wrong? I don't know. Annette, what would you do if you saw Charlie's head floating over your bed one night? We are Christ's body. We carry the vital organs that make that body work. We are important. It's also of interest that Paul always brings love into the talk of unity. Because love is what keeps the body together. If you want something that will stick everything together, Paul says, love. I guess love is sticky. It holds together. Paul begins by reminding those gifted Corinthians who had spiritual gifts that they were baptized into Christ and that they share membership with all other of the body equally. You see, they had a problem. Some say, I speak in tongues. You don't. I know German. You know German, Charlie? Therefore, I am better than Charlie. No, you're right. See, we were talking about lies this morning, Charlie. And just now, you told me you didn't speak German. You did. Oh, Charlie, what are we going to do with you? This morning, he told the kids on the eighth day God created Marines. And now he tells me he doesn't speak German, and then he answers me with nine. But my whole point is the Corinthians, some had great spiritual gifts, and they were thinking that they were better than some of the other members who didn't have these spectacular, wonderful gifts. I love speaking. I love getting up and teaching the Word of God, but I don't think I'm better than the person who doesn't have that gift. Because sometimes those who don't have that gift might know much more than me who likes to speak too much. We talked about that this morning, about those who speak too much without thinking, and therefore they tell lies. I was told this morning they heard roughly 200 lies in a day is the average for a person. I can believe it, though. I can believe it. But Paul reminds them that we are all equal partakers of life in Christ through the Spirit of God that we received at baptism. One is not better than the other. He goes on there in verse 14. The human body has many parts. That's true. If the whole body were an eye, it would not be able to hear. Once again, I just imagine this flying eyeball. That reminds me of something from these outer space movies. If the whole body were an ear, it would not be able to smell. If each part of the body were the same part, there would be no body. But truly God put all parts, each one of them, in the body as He wanted them. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. That's true. Charlie, your head couldn't function without the body, nor your body without the head. If I don't like my heart, can I just do away with it? No. What about my liver? No. For that matter, it would be difficult, but with a leg? We could adjust to having only one leg. We can't just have no heart, though, or no brain. But even when a part of the body is gone, there has to be adjustment, and it makes what? It makes life a little bit harder. Paul is making this comparison to the church. Sometimes we think, oh, the elders are more important than all the other members. Or maybe the preacher is more important. But it's not true. What good is a head if there's no body for it to function with? That is Paul's entire point. The church needs everyone who is in it. There is an unfortunate truth. We Christians are influenced by the society around us. Good, for good or for bad, we are influenced by our society. And much false thinking enters the church in this way. That is why we desperately need to read and apply the revealed Word of God to the church. Hope Maria doesn't mind, but Maria called me last night and we kind of talked about that. That the Word of God is needed to see how the church should function. We need to realize that we must have the mindset of Christ in the church and not that of the world. Believe me, many denominations have allowed the mindset of the world into them. But we need to have the mindset of Christ. Because believe me, history is going somewhere. Mankind is not here by accident. Mankind has a purpose. And that purpose is found in Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is found in His body, the church. But there's more. God's purpose involves not only the head, but the body. I just mentioned that. Which, although distinct from the head, is not separable from the head. Think about this, brethren. Every single member of the Church of Christ has been personally chosen and placed into the body of Christ as a functioning portion, each with its own ability. Isn't that right? Did I let Charlie in the church? No. God did when Charlie became faithful and let himself be baptized. God chose Ruth. God chose Emma. God chose Willie. I didn't choose them. God chose them. God gave them each a gift and put them into His body. Think about it. In the church of Christ, there are no misfits. None. Not a one. In the Church of Christ, none of us are here by accident. I just didn't fall and there I was in the church. There are no unplanned children in the church. God is the one that chose us when we were faithful and obeyed Jesus in faith. Every member has a purpose. Think about that. Not Monty and the elders and the deacons. Every Christian has a function, a gift that is needed in the church. God's eternal purpose in Christ is the only sufficient answer to our individual needs and our personal meaning in life. Both in our relationship to God and each other. Isn't this true? We need someone. And we need to have the feeling that we are needed. If you don't have the feeling you're needed, what's it like? You feel worthless. You feel not whole. Because God made us that way. That we need someone and we need to have the feeling that someone needs us. Everybody needs to feel like they're needed, like they are a part of the whole. But we are also created to be spiritual beings. We have a compulsion to worship. But we are also human beings, and we have social needs as well. We are social creatures needing a meaningful relationship with those of our own kind. It's one of the reasons God gave us the church. It fulfills both of these purposes, the spiritual, but also the social. And this happens only through Jesus Christ, God inviting individual men and women into the church. Each Christian is essential. Each Christian is necessary. And here's an important thought. Hear this and learn it. Each Christian is interdependent upon the other. Having seen the greatness of the body of Christ and God's eternal purpose, we need to admit that sometimes when we look at our fellow Christians, don't we sometimes tend to look down and be critical? Don't we sometimes think, oh, they're a little odd. They are not like me. Where does this thinking come from? The world. If someone is not like me, then they're not normal. I tell my wife that all the time. I'm the only normal person around. And why do I say that? Because nobody else is like me. But I'm sure you say the same thing. They're odd. Why are they odd? They're not like me. As human, we do that. So we must admit that sometimes we view the church as less than what we should. It is easy for us to view the church and its members from a view that brings them down to where they should not be. Paul says that each member has a place and a function in his eternal purpose for this earth and for his eternal purpose of the body of Christ. But it is easy for the more presentable parts to despise those who seem less honorable. Who usually in the church receives the most, I don't know how to put that correctly. Out, that's a German word. The German word is there. When you want to present Plymouth Church of Christ, who do you usually name? Usually the preacher or the elders. Why? Because that's the part that's most seen, isn't it? The preacher and the elders, maybe the deacons. Well, that's the external part of the body. We do need hands. We do need the face. We do need the legs. You know, those are more seen than usual. But can we live without a liver? Can we live without the spleen? I mean, when we think of these are kind of the inner parts. Necessary. Can you live without a liver? No. Can you live without a spleen? I don't know. My medical advice doesn't go that far. But do you see my point? Though there are parts of the body, I don't go, oh, you want to see my liver? Well, I can't open it up. You can't see my... I wouldn't want to be showing my liver anyways. But the liver has a purpose. And let me tell you, the body of Christ has members that play a vital function but may not be in the forefront of the church. An example. When someone is converted to Christ, normally we think, oh, the person that taught him did it, right? The person who converted this person to Christ, oh, they're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But I've been thinking about that. Let me first read something that Paul wrote. Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 3, 5, is Apollos important? No. Is Paul important? No. We are only servants of God who helped you believe. Each one of us did the work of God that He gave us to do. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God is the one who made it grow. So the one who plants is not important, the one who waters is not important. Only God who makes things grow is important. The one who plants and the one who waters have the same purpose. and each will be rewarded for his own work. We see there is usually more to bringing one to Christ than we think. I've been thinking about this. Someone who's thinking about being converted to Christ, they come to church. And then, let's say, Gladys goes and greets them and talks to them. And then Anna goes up and greets and talks to them. And they come and they sit. And let's say, Louise asks them to lunch. And then this man comes forward and is baptized. Who played a part in his conversion? Was it just the one who preached and taught? Or was it the love showed to him by normal members? I think it all played a part in that conversion. You see, God uses your talents. Maybe that's all I can do is greet people and show them love. Maybe I'm a good cook and can invite someone home to eat. But God can use those talents. Those talents are important. There's one important talent that sometimes we overlook. I call them the prayer warriors. Who takes the bulletin home, don't have to raise your hand, and prays for the sick that are listed? Who does that? I'm sure some of you do. Where would the church be without these mighty prayer warriors? They could be women as well as men. Where would we be without them? Or those people who take the time to come and clean the church building? Or the people who do these little things that aren't seen? Could we function without those people? How important is prayer, and how often do we not do it? But there are always the prayer warriors who take the bulletin home and pray for the sick, who pray for the church at Plymouth. You see, these members are gifted in their own way. Paul condemned the playing down of these people and of their little gifts. These little gifts sometimes hold the church together. Even though these members might be invisible in that they are not seen. I don't know. I tend to always come over here when Shirley is cleaning and talk to her for an hour so she can't clean. I don't know how that works, but that always happens. Or if Aaron's over here trimming bushes, I come over and talk to Aaron and keep him from doing his work. So what's the point? Don't come to church unless you want to talk to me. But without these small functions, without these people who are loving and doing small things, the church would either be, one, crippled, or two, that church is going to die. Do you understand my point? Everyone has a function in the church. So, what happens if you don't come to church? What happens when you don't participate in church activities? What are you doing? You're crippling the church. That's the point that Paul was trying to make. That's the point that I am trying to make. It often seems that the only people who are involved in evangelism are those that do it. Is that true? No. Everybody plays a part in evangelism when someone walks through that door. It's not only those who are on the forefront that are important, but those that are hidden sometimes in the background. Is that not true? I'm trying to think of what Lee always says. I can't remember how Lee puts it. Lee always, you always in class or here when you're forward, you always say something, isn't that so? Or I can't remember how you say that, but I like that. Where was I? Oh, yes. There are many factors, many gifts that give the church vitality, that give the church life. The New Testament does not know a clergy-laity relationship. Absolutely not. And any church that has that is not being scriptural. God's people. Who are God's people? Raise your hand if you're God's people. God's people do the works of service, otherwise known as ministry. God's people are all ministers of Christ. In the church, there is no hint of an elite group called clergy who does all the works of worship while all others are spectators. There is no elite class within the church who are served by their inferiors, because in the church, there are no inferiors. On the contrary, Jesus taught leaders, particularly those apostles, what? If you want to be leaders, what do you got to do? You got to be a servant. And to be truthful, that word should be not servant, but slave. If you want to be a leader, if you want to be an elder, that means what? You are a slave to Jesus. You are a slave then to the church. The real question is whether or not we will surrender our lives to Him, that He can make us what He wills according to His eternal purpose in Christ. Listen to this. Ephesians 4:14. Then we will no longer be babies. We will not be tossed about like a ship in the waves, carried one way and then another. We will not be influenced by every new teaching we hear from people who are trying to fool us. They make plans and try all kinds of tricks to fool people into following the wrong path. First off, that means there's a right path. Here's the important part. No speaking the truth with love. We will grow up in every way into Christ, who is the head. The whole body depends on Christ, and all the parts of the body are joined and held together. Each does its own work to make the whole body grow and be strong with love. The glue factor. The love. Why should we help one another to reach unity and maturity in Christ? Because this is the process of growing, developing, and maturing in Jesus that keeps our lives free of the poisoning influence of opinions and lies of man. The world is at least as full of deception today as it was in the days of Paul. Then they worshipped stone idols. Today we worship materialism, we worship liberal theology, and we worship a man-centered philosophy. Me. But idol worship remains idol worship, no matter what form it takes. All false doctrines contain a grain of truth, which makes them sound good. But the Bible speaks of a specific truth within it. And it is not open, the truth of God is not open to negotiations. Listen to this. This is Galatians 2:5. Paul says, "But we did not give in to those false believers for a minute. We wanted the truth of the good news to continue for you." Unity at the expense of truth ceases to be Christianity and becomes a compromise. Likewise, a strong doctrinal stand on truth at the expense of compassion and love is a perversion of Christianity. To leave love is to lose unity. Listen to the words in Revelations 2:2-5. "I know what you do, how you work hard and never give up. I know you do not put up with the false teachings of evil people. You have tested those who say they are apostles but really are not, and found them to be liars. You have patience and have suffered troubles for my name and have not given up." That sounds like quite a congregation, doesn't it? But he goes on. "But I have this against you. You have left the love you had in the beginning. So remember where you were before you fell. Change your hearts and do what you did at first. If you do not change, I will come to you and take away your lampstand from its place. If there is no, if you do everything right and have no love, Jesus says, I'll take away the lampstand. We can concentrate on absolutes of unity and function with all the correct forms, but if there is no love, there is no life. The unity that promotes growth to maturity thrives in a loving, dynamic, healthy interaction among members in the body of Christ. No, speaking the truth with love, we will grow up in every way into Christ, who is the head. The whole body depends on Christ, and all parts of the body are joined and held together. Each part does its own work to make the whole body grow and be strong with love. Once again, that glue comes into play. If there is no love in the church, there is no life. There can be no true growth. Our personal preferences, our personal taste, and conveniences must give way to the Lord's desire that His people use their talents and resources to help one another grow spiritually and to mature in Christ. The idea of individuals submitting to one another and belonging to each other in one body finds its most intimate expression in the marriage relationship. Listen to what Paul says here. The wife does not have full rights over her own body. Her husband shares them. And the husband does not have full rights over his own body. His wife shares in them. So it is with the church. You are part of the body of Christ. We are following the will of Christ. Do we want Plymouth to mature spiritually? Do we want Plymouth to grow numerically? Then we need to learn to be a church, a body, a family. The church is also known as the bride of Christ. Biblical unity can be achieved through love, Paul says. One last Bible verse. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Does your life in Christ give you strength? Does His love comfort you? Do we share together in the Spirit? Do we have mercy and kindness? If so, make me very happy by having the same thoughts, sharing the same love, and having one mind and purpose. When you do things, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Instead, be humble and give more honor to others than to yourselves. Do not be interested only in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others. In your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. Jesus walked this earth as deity incarnate, but He never forgot His submission to and dependence on the Heavenly Father. Let us be of the same mind as Jesus, who came to be a servant to His creation. The one body is the realm in which we live this life together. That one body is the church. Don't you want to be a part of this wonderful life? You can. If you have not been acting as a member, do so this morning. Come and ask God for forgiveness that the body of Christ in Plymouth can function properly. And if you are not yet a member of this church, if you are not yet a member of the body of Christ, there's only one way. Paul said, those who are baptized are put into the church by Jesus Christ Himself, by God. And accept the grace that God has given us. I ask you to come this morning as we stand, as we sing.